I want us to look at the Word of God. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you as we come now to look at your Word and understand what you're speaking to us this morning. Open this up, Father God, to our hearts and our minds, that we would hear what you're saying, and that our lives would be impacted and shaped. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I want to say something to you this. I want to say this to you. There's treasures in life, you know. Great treasures in life. And I want us to appropriate all the possible treasures that God has for us. And in order to appropriate all those treasures that God has for us, we need to understand what God says to us about those treasures. You see, the overflow of someone's life has tremendous impact into other people's lives. So the overflow of your life has an impact that you can't even quantify. But the overflow of your life has a tremendous impact. The enemy spends his time trying to communicate to you that you're no good, that you're a failure, that you're a miserable failure, and that you're no good, and you're defeated, and why don't you just give up? Has he communicated that to you? Of course he does. His tactics don't change. He tries to get me to think along those lines. He fires the arrows of those attacks into our minds. He's constantly doing that. And if we don't recognize that and prepare for that, according to the Word, we will succumb to that. But praise be to God, He's given us full equipment with which we can resist all of the attack of the enemy. Amen? All of the attack. The weapons of our warfare are quite good, aren't they? Are they quite good? Does it say very good? Are they quite good? A little bit good? What are the weapons of our warfare? They're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Those are the weapons that God has given us, mighty weapons. And so, brothers and sisters, He's called us to use those mighty weapons. Not feeble weapons, not quite good weapons, mighty weapons. And if God says something is mighty, guess what? It's mighty. I have to put a big, deep voice on to say it. But God doesn't need me to put a big, deep voice on to say it. They're His mighty weapons. And we don't need to get emotional about it. We just get to the truth of it via the Word of God, amen? And then accept it, and then walk in the reality of that. You know, they apply to every situation in life. But I've sometimes get phone calls, sometimes things happen. It could be people in churches, ministers even, and they've succumbed to the situation that they're in. The situation has got too much for them. Bless the darlings. And now they're sort of cowering in the corner. They're cowering in the corner, so to speak, and the enemy is having free rein, firing those fiery arrows, just firing away. Because instead of submitting to God and resisting the devil, which is what the Word is teaching us to do, what they're doing is they've stopped doing that. And so the enemy just fires the arrows away, fires the arrows away. And they say to me, oh, what can I do? What can I do? oh, I don't know what. It's like a boxer in the middle of the ring. Just picture a boxer. It's like a boxer, like, you know, that boxer, Mike Tyson, in his prime. You picture a boxer like that in his prime, and then a little schoolgirl's coming up and whacking him like this, and he's going, oh, stop it, please, stop it. It's a ridiculous picture. It would never happen, would it? He was so strong, so tremendous at fighting. But that's what happens in the church, in the spiritual. The ones with the might and the power, the ones who've been given the might and the power of God, sometimes find themselves cowering in the corner because instead of submitting to God, resisting the devil, and using what God has given, what happens is they just have not yielded to the word. The word hasn't been a priority in their lives. And because the word of God wasn't a priority in their lives, they have now succumbed to the attack of the enemy. If the enemy is gaining ground in someone's life, that person, if they're suffering with depression, if they're suffering from mental fatigue, if they're suffering from things, it's because the word has lost its place in their lives. Are you listening? It's because the word has lost. Because once the word has its place, that person cowering in the corner says, the weapons that I have are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. In fact, the pulling down of anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you and I, in our armory, have mighty weapons. Visualization is important. I visualize it like this. I visualize the enemy comes with a water pistol and squirts water and squirts water and squirts a little bit of water, and it's irritating. But if I really just decide to use the weapons of my warfare, I simply go and pick up the AK-47 that I have and use that in the spirit, so to speak, and that he flees. You see? Submit to God, resist the devil, and then perhaps he might flee. No, but he might flee, is it? He might flee? He will flee. He's going to flee. It's a guarantee based on the scripture. Amen? Are you with me this morning, everyone? Yes! Let's give a thank you to Jesus. Hallelujah! What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Praise God. On the journey to church, you know, we have now about a 35-minute journey to church. And it's just a joy for us because we're singing all the way. But I don't have to coax the children to sing. We're just singing with joy in the car all the way. Why? Because the reality of God in our lives is so good. He is overflowing out of us. Amen? We're not talking about religion. We're talking about the reality of God and the reality of our righteousness in him. Amen. And that will overflow out of our lives. We become that sweet fragrance to the world. So this morning, what I'm going to do is just as we continue then, I'm just going to continue to highlight some scriptures for us, because this was the thing that I wanted to simply share, very simply, and just leave us with this morning. We'll go into this later on in the week, the scriptures, these wonderful scriptures. So come with me to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Who likes profit? People like profit? I like profit. The Lord wants us to be profitable in everything that we're doing. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, nothing missing. Nothing missing, complete, whole, thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly equipped. Talking about equipped with the armory of God. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. He's called us to those good works, and he's provided for us. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent. To present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So, diligent. Be diligent. Diligence is a choice, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Diligence is a choice. To present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're rightly dividing the word of truth, if the diligent person is rightly dividing the word of truth, the person who isn't diligent could be wrongly dividing the word of truth. And what we find so often is that there is a wrong division of the word of truth. So many people have gone off on tangents and they wrongly divide the word of truth. This week, for example, I had an experienced person, been in the ministry and a long time, a Christian for a long, long time, write to me. So excited about this wonderful video. And he sent me a video of a man dressed in a Jewish outfit. Now, you know that on mother's side of the family there having some sort of Jewish background, my family presented me with a lovely tallit. And, you know, when I was a boy, everyone was going to go to Israel, the family members going to Israel to, you know, work in the kibbutz on my mother's side of the family. I didn't like any of that stuff. But here's this man. He's got no Jewish history or anything, and he's dressed head to foot. Now, in a Jewish dress. And he has a revelation, or so he was saying, that the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. And he then takes a long time to go into the Hebrew roots of the church and explain to everyone that, yes, you can get to God through Jesus, and yes, you can get to God through the Old Testament as a Jew just the same way. Well, talk about missing the point of the New Covenant. Entirely missing the point of the New Covenant. What was he doing? Wrongly dividing the word of truth. Jesus came first of all for the Jews. Paul came first of all for the Jews. The New Testament is a Jewish book. The New Testament is based, so many things are based on the Jewish Old Testament. The Old Testament is there as a foundation for the New Testament. We understand the Passover of Jesus Christ through the Old Testament, and the Passover, in the Hebrew, there's an idiom for you cut a covenant. It's a Hebrew idiom. You cut a covenant, and the covenant was cut. The blood is put on the door posts and the lintels, and the spirit of death passes over. And this is what happens when we accept Jesus' blood, a washing for our sins. We washed clean. The Lamb of God was slain. That's the new covenant. But to every Jew in the New Testament, they understood that that was what was taking place. There was a transition. The new covenant had come. Hebrews, it was written, the book of Hebrews was written about 66 AD. And it says, that which is passing away. In 70 AD, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. The old covenant was finished, over, gone, finished. It is now gone. And the only blood that remains is the blood of the Lord Jesus. The blood of the Lord Jesus remains. That's the blood now that we take as we take communion. The blood that was washed us clean and made us the family of God. Amen. So to rightly then understand the word of truth, we've got to be living in the new covenant and feeding on the new covenant, not wrongly dividing it, rightly dividing it. Are you with me? The next verse of 2 Timothy, it says, verse 16, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. There's certain things that we must shun. Okay? Shun. Be wise. Shun. And the more we spend in the Word of God, the easier it becomes to discern what we should shun and what we should keep. What we should hold close, what will cause us to prosper and live the godly life, and what we need to shun. But we have to do what they would get people to do in the banks. You know, in the banks, they would have lots of money coming through, and some of it would be forged. And the new tellers in the banks, you know what they would do for those new tellers? They just get them to count the money. Just count the money, count the money, count the money. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, or 50, 100, 150. So they would just get them to count the money, the new people in the banks. This is the training they would give them. And then, on occasions, they would put the fake notes in. And at the start, the people who had just joined the bank, they couldn't tell which was the fake. They all felt the same. But you know, after a while of counting the real, that which was fake became very clear. And they could just tell straight away, that's a fake. This is a fake. This is a fake. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. How does that happen? It happens when they spent plenty of time counting what was real. So when we spend plenty of time in the Word, understanding the Word, taking the Word of God in, it becomes very clear when there's something that's fake and a fraud, something that's not right, something that's wrong. It's so easy for us to discern. So we must spend time in the Word. This evening, I'm going to go and share more of these scriptures. And we'll just open up some of these scriptures more this evening. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, we're going to pray a confession. If we have a confession ready there, I want us to stand and speak this confession out together. Can we put that confession up? Now, when we speak these words out, brothers and sisters, I want us to believe these words. If you can, just believe these words. The Christian church was known, you know, as the great confession. The gospel and those who adhere to the gospel are known as the confessors. And these words are scriptural words. And they cause us to put a demand on the faith that we have inside of us, that we would be all that God's called us to be and do all that God's called us to do. Would you like to confess it with me today? Let's stand together then, shall we? I'll lead and then you follow, okay? Can we go up a little bit? Are we at this? That's it. A little bit more. Okay. Okay. I'll pray and then we confess. Heavenly Father, we're going to confess these words to you, Lord, out of our mouths. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you hear this confession and that it will manifest in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name. I hear, study, believe, and confess God's word for my life. My faith continues to grow by the word of God. I abide in God and his word abides in me. So I ask what I need according to his word. And I believe I receive it by faith. Let's go. Thank you. Jesus is the Lord over my life and every situation. I do not fear or worry about what I am going through. Because I released my faith. And God's will is being done in my life right now. I am not moved by what I see, feel, or experience, because I have the God kind of faith. And Jesus is its author and finisher. God's word is in my heart and in my mouth. Therefore, I look to him by believing and acting on his word. I believe that my faith works because I believe God's word is true. It comes to pass. And God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I not only hear the word, I act on it by faith and grace. I do not doubt, but believe in my heart. I walk and live by faith, and I experience victory. I reign in life through Jesus, through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you speak those words and you believe those words are so powerful. Brothers and sisters, those words will shape your life, your destiny, and your future. What a wonderful thing we have to have words that we can speak. Amen. We sing the last hymn, this beautiful ancient hymn.